That would be me. Good morning, everybody. How are you? Are you happy to be in church today? Good, yes. So my wife is in Maui. How good is that? And I'm here. I wouldn't rather be anywhere else than the spa church. It's as close as you get to relaxation. You need to get some hot tubs, though. I do have another son. His name is Jeremy, not Joel. Joel is actually my brother, and he's pastoring in Ontario. That makes me feel really old. That's good. But we're excited to be here this morning. My greatest fan, Daniel. He's literally my greatest fan. Yeah. And so we're really. It is on there. Oh, good. Okay. I have to use this, I was told. So hopefully I'll be able to juggle everything around here this morning. As many of you know, we've been here before. How many of you remember us? Okay, most of you. All right. So I don't need to give you too much introductory details, but we have been working in Europe now in the area of leadership development and training leaders and pastors and a new generation of leaders in particular in Italy, and I'm going to get that to later. But we are actually completing our 12th year after pastoring for 15 years, and we're going to be stepping into our 13th year here coming up in January. And we've been able to minister and plant churches, train leaders in 8 different European nations, mostly in the Eastern Bloc countries. But in the last 5-6 years, we have had a focus on the nation of Italy. It's a brand new nation that we've been able to open up, pioneer, laying down foundation work for decades to come. And it's a very special nation because it goes to our heritage, to my heritage, to my roots as an Italian. How many Italians are in the house today? What? Seriously? I think I need to come on staff at this church. Be the youth pastor. Maybe we could co-pastor. Anyways, maybe you don't want that. So Italians, you all need to come and say hi to me after. And so we have been pioneering in this nation, brand new nation, as I said, went in, had a few connections, and we've been able in the last 5-6 years develop a network of really solid key stakeholder relationships with national leaders from the south to the north, although we have been predominantly working in the south. But a lot of people ask us, like, why Italy? Wouldn't that be your question? Like, why would you want to do mission work in Italy? Is Italy really a mission field? Well, all of Europe is a mission field because Europe is over 830 million people. And in 19 out of the 48 nations, less than 1% are evangelical Christian. It is the most post-Christian continent on the planet. And missiologists will tell us it's one of the greatest mission fields today. It's challenging. You're not going to see the results like we see in Africa or in India and all those sorts of countries in Asia. It's hard labor, hard work. But fruit is going to take place on a long-term basis. And so we need to pray for the continent of Europe, because that's where our spiritual heritage comes from. The gospel came from there to us here. And now it has gone so far away from its roots. And you know what? Canada is not far off. And so I see a really a special relationship between Canada and Europe. How many Europeans do we have in the house today? Okay, 50%. And usually it's 50 to 75% have European roots. So why Italy? Well, we have a nation of 60 million people, and you don't even find 1 million evangelical Christians. We have 39% of our young people in Italy that are unemployed. Education is cheap. Many of them have degrees, but there's no opportunity. And so they're leaving the nation and they're going to other nations, and or they're staying in their nation and just doing nothing or getting into addiction of all sorts and other systemic issues. And that is what's happening with the young generation of Italy. There's an epidemic of suicide right now and isolation with the young people in the nation of Italy right now. In fact, we did a survey in the evangelical church. In the evangelical church, we did a survey, and 35% of young people in the evangelical church in Italy have either attempted or at least thought of the idea of suicide. And 30% fall in a category of addiction to gaming and social media. And so we've got a real systemic issue. 30% of Italians live underneath the poverty level today due to the economy and the situation there. 82% of Italians claim to be Christians, predominantly the Catholic religion. But get this, only 15% practice Catholicism. And so what does that tell us? It tells us that Italians are basically bound. They find an identity, their identity in religion, and they're bound by religion rather than a personal belief in Jesus Christ and actually living in relationship with God the Father. And so we're dealing with that. We have over 7,500 cities and towns that have no evangelical church. None whatsoever. Is that a mission field? So Italians are enslaved by an identity, wrapped in tradition and religion, and the church is becoming more and more irrelevant and fragmented. And as a result, the spirit from the Roman Empire filters in through the Catholic Church, the papacy, into the evangelical church. So there's one pastor. He's there till he dies. Everyone else are just helpers and workers. And we've got an evangelical church that's fragmented. And basically churches, evangelical churches that have started in Italy, was a default out of splits and division because of the whole power issue from the Roman Empire that is ingrained in the culture of the Italians. Okay? National leaders are telling us if we want to see a healthy church planting movement in Italy, which is non-existent today, we need to invest in the next generation of leaders, which we have not done well. And we need to transition the existing church to believe in the next generation and actually empower the next generation. I saw your vision statement somewhere and it says empowering communities. In Italy, it's all about empowering the next generation. The collective vision that we came up with is this: a new church for a new generation, for a new nation. We believe, and the national leaders that we have developed relationship with, believe that if we're going to see a new church rise in the nation of Italy, it's going to happen through the new generation. And this new generation that has no opportunity in their nation, we want to give them a kingdom opportunity. We want to see them raise up and say, you might not be able to do anything in your career, but you could do something for your kingdom. You could do something for your nation. And we want to train you. We want to invest in you. We want to believe in you. We want to affirm you. We want to call you, because for decades you have not been affirmed. You have not been called. You have not been believed in. And we want to empower you to develop some of the greatest ministries and churches that Italy has not seen in the history of its existence. Come on, somebody. And so we've come up with this. And so we've developed this program called Empower. Potenziare una nuova generazione. Empowering a new generation of leaders. And it's a 3-year program designed for leaders, young people in their churches that want to serve, that want to lead, that feel calling on their life. And so 2 years ago, we launched a program with 12 partner churches. And we said, man, if we could get 40, 50 young people, students in our program, we also have an online training piece in the 3-year program. I mean, that would be a win. Well, we got 110 that signed up. Wow. And we're starting our third year in March, our third conference to train. And in May, we're launching a new cohort of students, a fresh cycle of Empower in the north between Bologna and Milan, because churches have heard of what's going on in the south with the program. It says, we need it up here. Can we launch one here? So we're launching one there. And so, and this is just some of the students that are around tables and their breakouts and just being imparted the vision and training of leadership. And then, of course, these are the cohorts of all the students, and you always have great pizza in Italy. Always. In fact, this pizza is made by one of our partner churches in Catania, Sicily. They've got a professional pizza oven like you see at Domino's. And, I mean, on Saturday nights, they have their youth service, and then they invite the kids in the community to come in. They pumping out 200 pizzas every Saturday night. They invite the community. Whether you can afford it or not, you come in. And so that's our students. These are some of our trainers and pastors that we bring from here to come and impart in our students. You might recognize some of these faces. And then this is something really exciting. Remember, I came here last time and we were talking about the refugee, the community hub center in Catania, Sicily. This is the church that does the pizzas. And they had a vision to build this church for their secondary campus in the suburbs, which is going to house immigrants, elderly care. It's going to have all sorts of community events. It's going to be a connecting point for us leaders and NLI to train pastors and leaders in the south of Italy. And here's a progression. That's Pastor Derek from Christian Life Assembly. We brought a team there several months ago. But here's a progression, guys. Look at it. It's getting better. We're 90% there. This is inside their main auditorium, and we're just pumped. So it's getting ready. Hopefully, we're gonna get this thing moving, totally completed in this spring, and it's gonna be used for the glory of God as a center of transformation in this city. Would you just stand up to your feet today? You're going to have a second offering that's going to go towards your global strategy and the needs that you have as a church that we are part of. We appreciate your generosity through the years. You guys have been amazing. You're the top five churches that support us that are always generous with us. Offerings, Christmas, you keep in touch with us. Thanks. Not every church does that. Thank you. We feel the love. We feel the support. We appreciate your generosity. Today, you have an opportunity to invest in what you just saw so that we could keep doing what we're doing, that we would lay these foundations, that we could see fruits of our labor, of your resources, and the decades to come in the nation of Italy and see a mighty transformation of God come. Amen? Would you pray with me? Father, this morning, we just thank you for this house. Thank you for the pastors, the leadership. Thank you, Father, for what's on this house. And we pray that today you would increase faith, that you would increase passion, that you would increase vitality, that you would increase their heart for global strategy, that you would increase their engagement in this community and in this province in the mighty name of Jesus. Would you help me, Holy Spirit, as I deliver this word that I feel is a word in season for this house in the mighty name of Jesus. Everyone said, amen. As you take a seat, turn to the person next to you and say, I would be the greatest looking person if it weren't for you sitting with me here today. Today I wanna deposit a word for your church. Can I do that? I'm always going to hit mission, but I feel I have a word for the church today in general. God's birthed this fresh message, I believe, for the Canadian church. And, you know, we sang earlier about, I believe in God. How many of you still believe in God? I believe in the Father. I believe in the Son, Jesus Christ. We believe in the sacrifice and the death on the cross of Jesus. But then I believe in the resurrection. Come on. Okay, you're going to help me preach today. Believe in the resurrection. I believe in the Holy Spirit, which empowers us to live our Christian life. And that needs to be at the deepest core belief in our hearts. I believe in God. I believe in God the Father, the Son, Jesus, the sacrifice, the resurrection, and in the Holy Spirit. And out of that comes, I believe in the church. How many of you still believe in the church? That the church of the living God, because basically out of all of that, The church was birthed, and the church was given a mandate, and the church is being empowered, and it's still being empowered. I mean, you know that the church is still alive today. And so I believe that the power and the impact of the church is still vitally important today. And the church is the hope of the world. It still is the hope of the world, friends. The church is the vehicle that God has chosen to bring hope to a lost and a broken humanity globally and around the world, to a world that it has no hope. And it's not going to happen through some political campaign. It's not going to happen through some political party. It's not going to happen through some environmental movement. It's not going to happen through the educational sector. It's not even going to happen through a denomination. But the church is God's plan. It's God's plan A, and there's no plan B. And he said, it was his idea. He said, I choose the local church to bring hope and transformation to the world. Your mission statement speaks about that. The church, the ecclesia, the gathering of God's people, we are the church. It's not these walls, it's not the carpet, it's not the chairs, but you are the church. The person next to you today that is breathing, he, she is the church today. And so I believe the church is still the hope for this community, is still the hope for this city, is still a hope for the world around us, and we want to give them praise for the gift of the church today. Amen? Psalms says, and I want to speak on, let's build something together. But Psalms, I love what Psalms says. It says, Lord, I love the house where you live. I love the house where you live. The place where your glory dwells. Or we can say, Lord, I love Spot Church, where you live. Right? Another version says, Lord, zeal for your house consumes me. Oh, zeal for your house consumes me. I love that. Can you say that about your church? Can you say that this church consumes you in a good way, not in a negative way? That zeal for Spa Church consumes me. Zeal for the church in British Columbia consumes me. Zeal for the church in Canada consumes me. Zeal for the church around the world consumes me. I love my church. I love my pastor. I love the worship. I love the preaching of the word. I love the presence and the anointing of the Spirit. I love the friends that I have at my church. I love the sense of community in my church. I love the vision of my church. I love the mission of my church. I love the small groups and the life groups and the prayer meetings and the outreaches. I love even the coffee that we serve in my church. I love those crazy announcements that Pastor Markham gave. I love this church. My zeal for this house consumes me. And I sense I'm here this morning to challenge you to keep renewing your passion and zeal for and love for this house and for the Church of Jesus Christ around the world as you launch in a new season. We love the church, and we're passionate about the church, and we're committed to the church because it's God's plan. It's not our plan. It's God's plan. It was his idea. He sat down one day and he says, how am I going to transform Surrey? How am I going to transform Vancouver? How am I going to transform Canada? How am I going to transform the world? He says, I choose the church. I choose the church. How am I going to change and impact the world? How am I going to touch and reach the young people, the older people, every tribe and every tongue and every nation? And he says the solution is I choose the church as my plan. I choose the church to bring hope to the world. We are the church. We are bringers of hope. When was the last time you woke up in the morning and as you got ready and you looked at yourself in the mirror one last time before you went off to work or to school or wherever you had to go and say, I'm a bringer of hope. Lord, where do you want me to deposit and download some hope today? Amen. Try that. Try that. Spot Church, 250 people, 300 people. Let's do that this week every morning and see what could happen in 1 week. Amen. And Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9 to 10, it says, and make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God. And look at this. It was God's intent that through the government, through the educational sector, through the environmental movement. It was God's intent that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms. The intent now through the church, what was a mystery, what was hidden, now his intent through the church will declare the victory over principalities and powers of darkness on the earth. It will be the brightest light in the world. The church today declares that Jesus is alive. It declares the goodness of Jesus. It declares the faithfulness of Jesus. It declares the forgiveness of Jesus. It declares the love of Jesus. It declares the hope and the gospel and the promise and the good news of Jesus Christ. The church is no longer hidden. It's no longer a mystery. The best kept secret. It's no longer that, but it's being declared about. It's being shouted about. It's being sung about. It's being written about, church. It's being celebrated that Jesus is Lord and his church where his glory dwells. Come on, we ought to give thanks today for the church of Jesus Christ. It's God's plan. And let me remind you that the church is God's vision. The church doesn't have a vision. The vision has a church. A lot of times we get so wrapped up, oh, what's the vision of the church? What's our thing? How are we going to do this? But really, friends, it's God's vision. And his vision includes the church. Come on. Now, I'm excited about the church. Like, do you realize that in less than, we're just around the corner, we're gonna about to enter in 2020? Have you thought about that recently? We're moving into a new decade, friends, in just a few weeks. And we're embarking in 2020, a new decade. And I don't think we're just moving into a new decade. I don't think we're just moving as a church into a new season. I actually believe we have been moving into a new era. We're in a new era, friends. This is bigger than just a decade. We're moving into 2020. I believe that the new era has already begun 4 or 5 years ago. And I think some churches are really stuck behind. But we're in a new era. If you think about the innovation in our world, the advancement of technology, and the advancement in media and social media and transportation, and some of the spirit of unity that we're beginning to see fostered in the body of Christ, cross-denominationally and networking and people, other groups working together like I've never seen before. But there seems to be more of an openness and partnerships and alignment with people that are different and other networks. And we're not just stuck in our own little denomination and bubble, but I see that there's a spirit of unity and collaboration in the body of Christ, which will result in a move of God, and I believe a harvest of souls that we haven't seen before if we take advantage of the new era that we have embarked on. So don't stay stuck. Keep advancing, church. Keep changing. Keep transforming. And I know it's not easy. Nobody likes change. But if we're going to reach this community, and if we're going to engage this community, and we're going to see transformation, church is not about making it what we like, what we want, and our opinions. It's about what is it going to take for us to reach Surrey. Yeah. And I'm saddened because churches are shutting today because they refuse to change. They're refusing to lay it down, their agenda, their ideas, their plans for what the church needs to be to what God wants it to be so that we can reach a generation that is so lost and that is so broken today. Thank you. Are you with me today? I'm still in the introduction. I see a church that's rising, that is full of life, that is full of passion, that is full of vitality, that is life-giving. That where broken people are healed. A church where miracles take place. A church where salvation takes place. Where generations gather and are changed. Where families come together. Where people of all walks of life come together. Rich, poor, isolated, educated, and uneducated. Where people of every background and color come together. That are planted in the house with one vision and one mission and one mandate. And that is to be the hope of God in the world around us. God's vision has a church. I see a church that is passionate, that worships passionately, that prays fervently, that loves to be generous, that honors God and honors one another and serves unselfishly and engages its community radically and lives in unity, that God's name can be made famous in the city. This is God's vision for His church. And He is the head of the church and He is building His church today. And I want to say to you today, God is not finished with this house. He's not finished with this house, but He's got more for you. And He wants to continue to expand your reach, and He wants to increase your influence, and He wants you to impact this city. God uses ordinary, imperfect people like you to be part of building the greatest church around the world. Not only does He want to use you to keep building His house, but He also wants you to use you to keep building His church globally. And I still believe the most effective evangelism strategy is planting life-giving churches in a community that has none. That's why we do what we do in Europe. That's why we're doing what we're doing in Italy. In Matthew 16, Jesus says to Peter, you have to understand, and now this, that you, Peter, and on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I'm fascinated because in order for God to build it, He needs somebody to build it through. How many Home Depot diehards are in the house today? Come on, let me see your hands. Where are the women? I know there's women diehard Home Depot. Yeah. Right? Do you know what Home Depot's slogan is? It's, let's build something together. If Home Depot got it right, it's about time the church gets it right. Let's build something together. We're building the greatest thing on the planet, and it's called the church, and He paid the greatest price for it, friends. So let's build something together. And when you partner with God to build His church, your life becomes consumed with building His church. The Bible says you become co-laborers with Christ. And God needs some hands. He needs some feet. He needs some eyes. He needs people. He needs someone who will give of their gift and their talent and their time and their treasure to build the greatest thing on the planet, the church. So the question is, how are we going to partner with God? How are we going to build the church globally? How are we going to achieve this? How is this house going to fulfill the vision that God has for Spa Church and what it's called to do in this city and globally? 1 Thessalonians, verse 1 to 8. And this is a bit of a prophetic word, guys. And I'm going to stop as I read this and unpack it a little bit for you. But this is a word to the church in Thessalonica. And here's how we're going to build the church. To the church of Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all you continually mention, and we mention you in our prayers. We mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God the Father your work, this is key, friends, your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is key. I'm gonna get back to it, and we're going to unpack those three things. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that He has chosen you. You're chosen, friends. You're chosen today. This church has been chosen, and each of you in this church has been chosen. This body has many parts, and you are a part of it. And as each part says yes and does His work, as you say yes and realize that God has chosen you to do something incredible, you aren't here by accident, but you are here because you have been called, you've been chosen, and you have been planted here by God. Verse 5, because of our gospel, came to you not simply with words, but also with power by the Holy Spirit and deep conviction in the core of your vision. You know you how we lived among you for your sake.
Are you still, is it falling there?
Yeah, I'm lost. Anyways, you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. You see, sometimes you have to go through some suffering in doing the work of God. Overcome some hard seasons. You're going to have to overcome some obstacles. But you do it with joy because there's a deep conviction on the inside that says, God has called me and planted me. And verse 7, and so you became a model. You became a model. How many of you know that God wants you to be a model to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia? You aren't just a church on the street corner to look pretty or some religious institution, but God's desire is that you become a model in this community. Can I hear an amen? A model in this community. And so the Lord's message rang out from you. Friends, how many of you know there's a message that God wants to be ringing out from this church that is reverberating, that has a reputation, that is ringing out from this place that will be drawing people to want what you have? Out from you, not only in Macedonia, not only in this community, not only in Surrey, but for your faith in God has become known everywhere. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. This isn't it, friends. You haven't arrived. There is more to be done. There is more territory to conquer. There is more impact and influence to be gained. You aren't done yet. And someone say, there is more. There is more to be done. Can you say that? There is more to be done. There is more for your church. There is more. God's name is to be glorified and made famous in your city. There is a preferred future for you. There is a preferred future for you. How many of you believe that? Just because maybe you've gained some momentum or progress as a church through the years to this point, let's not get comfortable. There is more. There's more. So how are we going to build and grow and expand your reach as a church and build the church globally? Your work that is produced by faith, verse 3, your labor that is prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope. That's the way we're going to build the church. We are going to build the church, number one, by our work in faith. You see, friends, just talking about faith or quoting faith scriptures doesn't prove that you truly have faith and live a lifestyle of faith. All that needs to translate in you in living out your life of faith. To see faith active in our life. To see the power of faith change the world that I'm a part of. James chapter 2, 17 and 18 says this. It says, you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It is dead and useless. Now, someone may argue some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds, by my works. Amen? You see, friends, our work is done in faith. Our work is done in faith. Our work is produced by faith. Faith leads us to action. Your faith produces good works, and work and faith are inseparable. You see, you can't say, Pastor Les, you take care of the faith department, and Pastor Wes, I'll take care of the work department. You can't delegate it. It doesn't happen. It goes together. It's inseparable. Faith and works have to be a work. We all need to be on deck with faith, and we all need to be on deck with works. And it's not something you separate. Faith and works fit together, and they go hand in hand. Faith always moves us to action to do something. And so when we step out in faith, something happens. Something gets released from the heavens. The supernatural is released in the midst of doing good work and actions. It opens the door for the kingdom of God to come. I love the story of Peter when he walked on the water. I mean, Peter stepped out. He put his faith in action by stepping out of the boat and actually walked on the water. And then people say, oh yeah, but he sank and he was drowning, and who cares? Peter walked on the water. When was the last time you walked on water? Right? He put his faith into action. And then we see the story in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12 of the paralytic man. We won't read it because of timing, but Jesus heals the paralytic man in the city of Capernaum. When the people of that town heard that Jesus had come home, they all came together and gathered at the house. So many came and gathered that there was no room left, that the crowd filled the outside door of the house. How many want to see this house filled so much that there's no room? Right? Come on. Don't lose sight of that picture. And so four men had a friend who was paralyzed, and they carried him to this house in faith that Jesus could heal him. But the crowd had filled the house so badly that they couldn't get this man inside. And so what did they do? They didn't give up. Most of us would probably give up. Oh, there's no room. Oh, I guess we got to go. We'll come another day and see if we could get our friend healed. No, they didn't stop there. So they climbed up to the top of the house on the roof, and they started digging a hole and made a hole in the roof. And I mean, that's crazy. I mean, talk about determination. Talk about putting your faith in action and doing something, friends. And so they lower this man who's on a mat, paralyzed man, and they lower him right in front of the feet of Jesus as Jesus was teaching the people in his house. And in verse 5, it says that when Jesus saw their faith, something happened. Heaven opened up. When Jesus sees your faith, something happens. Sister, when Jesus sees your faith for your wayward son, your wayward daughter, your wayward husband, your situation that you're in, something happens in the supernatural. Something happens. And so we witness the very first miracle in this situation, the story of, I call it, the double miracle. Jesus says to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. What? Say what? His friends, can you imagine? Like, we cut a hole in the roof to lower him, and you say your sons are forgiven? We brought him here to get healed, and you're saying his sins are forgiven. Jesus says to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven. You see, Jesus saw that this man needed something even greater than healing on his body. Jesus knew that this man was in need of the miracle of salvation. This man was in need of the gift of eternity through the work of forgiveness through the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, it would have been very easy for Jesus to just heal him in an instant. First thing, let's heal him. But he paid a big price on the cross of Calvary for the forgiveness of our sins. And in order to give us the gift of salvation and eternity, God goes above. We see God in this story go above and beyond when we put our faith in action to work. He does extra. He does more than our expectation. And then later in verse 11, Jesus says, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And this man, this paralyzed man, stood up and walked out of the front door of this house. Come on, everyone. He gave them more than what they came for. He gives them salvation. He gives them the gift of eternity. And then he heals the man because he saw something. He saw faith. And when he sees faith, something happens. And many times it goes beyond what we're even expecting. Wow, that's a good word, hey? What do we learn from this story? Faith leads to action. To our good works. And action produced by our faith leads to the miracle. It leads to the supernatural. It leads to a harvest. It leads to the lost being rescued. It leads to relationships being restored. If it weren't for the action of these four friends bringing the paralytic to Jesus and overcoming the obstacles with such determination and faith, they would have never experienced this miracle of healing, but more than that, the miracle of salvation. Faith is not something that just sits idle. Faith is doing, it's movement, it's praying, it's believing, it's proclaiming, it's living, it's restless, it fights, it perseveres, it's determined, it's persistent, it gives. Faith always moves us to action. There's a tenacity that is attached to faith that doesn't really give up easily or stay idle. And some of you today, you're on the brink of giving up. In fact, you came to church and you said, God, if you don't give me a breakthrough today, I'm done with all this. Get your tenacity back. Get your perseverance back. put on your eyes of faith. Who is that paralytic person in your life that needs your action? What's that thing or that situation in your life? Church, what symbolizes the paralytic in this community that needs you to move into action? How many miracles aren't realized because of our lack of faith, which limits our action and seeing the kingdom of God come to earth? Faith leads to action. How do we build the church? We're going to build it through our works of faith. Who would have ever thought we would have been able to do what we've done in the last 12 years in Europe? Who would have ever thought that when God says, I want you to leave a secure pastoring position in a multiple church staff situation with a good salary, with all of the perks and all of the benefits, to now step out and live and be 100% self-supportive and sustain yourself, and I want you to be an apostle type work in Europe. When we took that step of faith, who would have ever thought that we would have worked in eight, nine nations in Europe and trained well over 1,000 leaders and pastors and helped plant 26 churches? Who would have ever thought that we would have been able to mobilize 42 short-term mission teams from Canada? Who would have ever would have thought that we would have been able to give and sow in over $1 million to missions in Europe for various initiatives? Who would have ever thought we would have break open a Roma village on the outskirts of Novi Sad, Serbia, the least evangelized nation in all of Europe, and bringing the love of Jesus through a feeding program that a Canadian business guy funded and helped us start it, that led people to getting saved in that village, and it birthed a church and people getting water baptized in the bathtub of their homes and receiving the Holy Spirit, and then planting two life churches and then establishing a program called Propel that is bringing education to the children and sponsoring the children of the Roma ghetto to get an education in the school system. And we had one girl that for the very first time she was able to go shopping and went into a mall, and it was the very first time that she actually experienced going up and down an escalator. Who would have ever thought we would have been able to pioneer a brand new work in the nation of Italy and see these students come and soaking it in, hungry, receiving, looking for purpose and opportunity to do something for their nation and begin a church planting movement? And we're starting now our very first church plant in 2020. A couple called Vincenzo and Numa that come out of our Empower program that are going to plant a church in the city of Naples where they live. Who would have ever thought that we would have been able to do all this stuff? But friends, it's going to take a step of faith. It's going to take you to start moving into action and doing something. God never manifests until you take that step. Yeah. So friends, reality is faith that is not tested cannot be trusted. And our faith has been tested time and time again. Our faith is being tested this year in 12 years. This is probably the most challenging year for personal support. Pastor West knows that. But you know what? We know God's called us. We're determined. We're going to have tenacity. At the same time, we've got some of the greatest momentum on the field. We can't give up now. We can't stay idle now. We know God's got this, right? We're going to keep going. We, by faith, we see the future that God has called us to achieve as a church. By faith, we see the vision of God being realized through us in action. By faith, we see the potential in each and every one of us co-laborers into that which God has called us to accomplish. By faith, we see a preferred future for the church around the world. And it's not just the eyes of your pastors that see it. It's not just the eyes of your leadership and deacon board that sees it, because they see a lot of things. But the question is, what do you see? What do your eyes of faith see? What are you believing for your community, for your church, for Surrey, for your family, for your marriage, for your children, your business, and your calling? What do you see for your future of Spa Church? What do you believe when it comes to the impact and the influence in your city, nationwide, globally? What is your level of faith at today? Amen. Because the only way we will achieve it is through the eyes of faith. Faith is expectation that it's going to happen. The future of this church is heavily dependent on answering this question: what future do you see for your church? And how do you see yourself fit in? And how are you going to welcome other people to fit in? And what are you willing to lay aside for the sake of souls coming to Christ? How many people do you see coming to faith in Christ through your church? How many baptisms? How many lives do we see transformed by the power and the grace of God? How many marriages do you see restored through the ministry of this church? How many leaders do you see train and fulfill the God call of God in their life and missionaries sent out of this church? How many do you see? What do we see? You say, what do you see? What do I see for Italy? I see 1 million people come to Jesus Christ. Trained up 10,000 leaders who will have the ability to influence 100 people and each reach for Christ. And we can see 1 million Italians come to faith in Christ. We want to see the next generation of leaders being raised up and empowered in Italy and to bring revitalization to the church and to launch hundreds of life-giving churches and communities of faith, to launch the greatest ministry that Italy's ever known, to bring transformation to their known, to see this movement spill over into all the Mediterranean, into Portugal, into Greece, and into Spain. I want to give my life for that cause, friends. Do you see a church with a preferred future today? Do you see a church that is always evolving and changing and advancing and going from glory to glory to glory? The church that we see must be a church that keeps advancing, a church that is faith-filled, that has large vision, and that is risk-taking when it comes to the cause of expanding the kingdom of God. Come on. When the church is filled with faith, that's what makes a difference. It changes our perspective. It changes our mindset. Rather than thinking we can't do it, it's impossible, we begin to think, why not? Why can't we make a difference? Why can't we be a catalyst to see transformation come to our city? Why can't we be a catalyst for bringing renewal to the church in Italy? Why can't we change the spiritual climate of a nation? Why not? Faith believes there's more. Don't just live in your past. But faith lives in the now. Let your faith be stirred up and begin to live in your future today. Now, friends. Build now for the future. That's what we're doing in Italy. We're building now for decades to come. Friends, there is no limit to what God can do in and through you and in your city to make a difference in your nation. Let your faith cause you to start living and working for your future now. Could it be that faith can pull the now in what God has reserved for the future? Let me say that again. Could it be that faith can pull into the now, your faith now can pull it into the now, what God has reserved for the future? If you can just get that perspective, if you can just leave today with that, we can close right now. Hebrews 11 says, now faith is the substance, is the foundation, is the evidence that I stand for now and have hope for tomorrow. Faith is for now to realize tomorrow. Come on, church. Are you getting encouraged today? Yeah? That applies to your marriage. It applies to your business. It applies to your relationship. Everything. The level of your faith will determine the level of your faith today will determine your limit or your breakthrough. Don't fall in the trap of living a needs-based Christianity. I think far too much the church has fallen into the needs-based mentality. Oh God, you know our problems and all these needs we have and these impossibilities and this massive mortgage and it's just a thorn in the flesh. Come on, how many of you prayed like that? Even us pastors. And we begin to have this needs-based mentality and we approach God in this beggar's needs-based mentality. As if like he doesn't know. We need to transition and get out of that rut. This applies to your own financial issue at home, or your own marriage. We get into this needs-based, begging mentality. We need to transition that into a faith-based Christianity. Come on, somebody. Don't plead in your prayers, but declare your faith. Declare every promise, yes and amen, that Jesus Christ has in his word. It's time to take action with your generosity and commit to doing something today. We're going to take a mission offering in just a few moments. Your generosity today can become someone else's source of good news. Wow, think about that. Your generosity today can become someone else's source of good news. My generosity today has the full potential to be an open door for someone else's moment in transformation in God. Wow. My generosity can make a difference in one life, in one project, in one village, in one town, in one city, in one nation, in one church plant, in one soul coming to Christ. When you give today, give with that perspective. Maybe you've never given into a mission offering. Today's going to be your first time. Maybe God's given you a number. Today he's asking you to add a zero. My joy is not full when I get more. My joy is full when I realize what the more is for. Come on. May we live with that understanding that God has given us more so that we can make an eternal difference in the lives of others, so that we can see the kingdom of God come and establish church.